everyone. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Julia. Thank you for tuning in into Thoughts for a More Sustainable World podcast. We're master students from KU11, and we're excited to have your ears today.
Today, we'll be discussing the Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, particularly goal number 4, quality education. We have an awesome project we want to talk about, and we have the pleasure of inviting Arnaud Raskin, founder of Mobile School, to talk to you about access to education and how they are personally supporting the advancement of goal number 4.
But what are SDGs?
So in 2015, all United Nations member states adopted the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Included in this agenda are 17 Sustainable Development Goals. These were developed through global partnership based on the most urgent needs across the world. They all kind of interact with one with each other.
Do we have a deadline for this?
Yeah, the idea is to reach all 17 goals by 2030. Since 2015, the United Nations states have been working towards advancing these goals. Specifically, goal number 4 objective is to ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all.
That's really cool, but I'm not really sure what quality education means.
For sure, it's more than just literacy or numeracy. I would say it also includes learning about empathy, critical thinking, anything you need to be happy with your life and feel you are doing something worthy.
So it's not just going to school. Do you think it's also related to acquiring those so-called soft skills?
Yeah, exactly. Practicing some sports with friends or organizing trips together, it's also learning. It falls under the non-formal education.
So the idea is to ensure that every person in the world can benefit from an education that enables them to be happy and feel like they contribute to the world. I can imagine that there are so many socially innovative projects happening across the globe. It's kind of cool to see everyone working together.
I know, right? It's inspiring and gives back some hope in the world. But you mentioned socially innovative, and I think we could expand on what social innovation is for listeners, since there are a few definitions. The concept we like to use is taken from the Handbook of Social Innovation by Frank Mullard. Social innovation is about changing the way people live and addressing social problems like poverty, hunger, pollution, and illiteracy. It is focused on finding new ways to meet the needs of people that are not being addressed by the public or the private sector.
I think it would be safe to say that access to quality education, or lack thereof, is also a pressing human rights issue worldwide. But let's look at some facts here. According to the UN, if we do not achieve the goal by 2030, an estimated 84 million children and young people will still be out of school. And approximately 300 million students will lack the basic numeracy and literacy skills necessary for success in life.
And this isn't just specific to one region or continent. Education issues are impacting people all around the globe, from girls being denied education in Afghanistan because of the current regime, to United States of America, where they are banning certain books in schools, since this is impacting everyone.
So true. I think that's actually the perfect segue into the main part of our conversation for this episode, which is about the Mobile School and the work this organization is doing to support access to quality education and advances sustainable development. We brought in Liva Adizi to talk about this socially innovative project. Welcome, Liva. Thanks for being here today. Maybe you could give us a quick introduction.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me here today. So I'm a master's student at KU Leuven in the sociology program, and I'm passionate about sustainable development and social innovation.
That sounds fun. What can you tell us about the Mobile School?
So in 2002, Arnaud founded the Mobile School. A mobile school is exactly how it sounds, a school on wheels, a set of extendable blackboards, which come with more than 250 educational panels, working on themes such as creative therapy, reading and writing, health, hygiene, and social skills. Inspired by his volunteer work in Colombia, he developed a mobile classroom prototype, which he first tested in Guatemala and Bolivia, to address educational inequalities faced by street children. This project, as mentioned, emphasizes on non-formal education, focusing on empowerment rather than traditional schooling. Raskin is hoping to foster confidence and resilience in street children, enabling them to engage in learning. Well, I could tell you about this project. As you mentioned earlier, I was lucky enough to catch him for an interview, so I'll let him tell you and your listeners more. So Arnaud, could you explain in more detail what the mobile school does?
What does the mobile school do? If you enter a neighborhood or you go to a square or to the streets and you open it up, you claim the street. It's about here we are. You know, it's a colorful thing. It's completely playful. It's street adapted. All the educational tools are connected to the mobile school. Because if you go with backwards books, the kids will nick it, the material, and you will have to do shopping every 2 weeks. And you will have to enter in a conflict, judging them like, you can't steal from me, which is disempowering again. So it's about understanding the context and designing your approach suitable for that context with a clear focus on your goal. And that goal is very simple in what we do at Mobile School. It's not bringing an academic portfolio to the streets. There is one goal, and that is reestablish the self-esteem, build up self-esteem, build up empowerment, build up, you know, sense of self within the kids, because that's the foundation. If they don't have that fundament and that base, there is no way that they can take decisions to take further steps in their rehab process.
Sounds like there is a huge focus on empowerment, which is a key concept of social innovation. Could you expand a little more on how the mobile school ensures the empowerment of street children?
The concept of seeing the streets as only negative is completely limited. So we decided to skip this and to accept the streets with good and bad stuff. And we decided, like, we need to design an educational strategy, methodology, and a tool to enter that environment that, from my context, is completely not suitable to bring education. But anyhow, that's the place where it has to happen, because that's the place where the kid feels empowered, most empowered. So that's the point where we have to be. So it's about adapting your educational strategy and methodologies in full acceptance of that reality without judging it. And it's going till the extreme that we train the educators that use our methodologies, like, never ever forget that you're the visitor. And when you visit somebody, you respect whatever the customs are or the context is, you know. Like, even when they pull knives, I've been in Central America, you know, realities where we had a lot of gang fights and gang culture, and it happened often that there was violence at the mobile school. And even when they pulled knives, we told them, like, hey guys, you know, I'm not gonna tell you what to do on the streets or what you can't do. You know, I completely respect you with all decisions that you make, but what I can do is decide if I want to be part of this or not. Mm-hmm. And what we then do, and that's in the design of mobile school as well, you just slide in the blackboards. It takes you like 10 seconds, poof, and the mobile school is closed and you walk off. And what happens every single time when there is violence and you take that position, they're behind you and they come after you and they tell you, like, don't they ask, profe, where are you going? And then we tell them, like, yeah, we don't want to be part of this violent situation. So hey, if you want to, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I completely respect you and your decisions, but I can decide if I want to be part. Then social control starts and violence goes down. If you're in there and you try to mingle in and to calm down, it's going to be oil on the fire. It's about, do we truly hand over the control to them? Do we truly, fully respect them in whatever decision they make? And we need to stretch ourselves in our educational strategies to reach that point. And that requires, of course, because you have like a vision in education, you have your values, that requires that you design very smart. Design a smart methodology and approach that really fits the reality that you will be confronted with. And this is where you need like empathy as a hard skill. Actually, it needs to be developed as a hard skill in those educators to understand first before designing. Right. And that is what is lacking, in my opinion, often.
That's a very thoughtful approach. Now, we would also like to talk about another aspect of social innovation, which is the emphasis on a bottom-up approach. So how is the mobile school including local communities on the design and implementation of the project?
Yeah, we have like a very decentralized growth strategy as well. As you see in the office over here, I've got like about 10 people employed, 9 at this moment. And within Streetwise, next to the payroll people, all coaches and trainers are freelancers. It's independent people, you know, they have to go to the streets. Otherwise, they can't go to the business, so they need to be connected with both sides. But as well, the mobile schools, we don't run the projects. It's a social franchising model. So the mobile schools are operated by local initiatives, local NGOs. In Colombia, it's Colombians. In Antwerp, it's people from Antwerp. It's Belgians. In Greece, it's Greeks. It's always the local initiatives. There is so much space to adapt it to your context, your culture, your reality. You connect educational games to the blackboard. We offer like about 250 up until 300 games, but they can create their own games, they can co-create with other organizations, they can decide on, you know, the requirements that we give to them to invest and to cooperate are very limited.
It's inspiring how your social franchising model emphasizes the involvement of local communities. But I'm curious, how do you fund these mobile schools? I've heard you've adopted a hybrid organization model. What led you to combine a business with an NGO approach?
Now, we decided to keep on doing this and grow and scale up the impact of mobile school building and hybrid organization. And the main reason why we created the business within this educational nonprofit, what it was at first, was that we were not walking the talk because we preach sustainable development. If somebody is in poverty, you don't go and give them a fish. You teach them how to catch the fish. You make them independent. That's what you do. So when the shoeshine boy approaches a mobile school and tells us like, hey, I'm starving, can I get some food or money? We tell them like, no, we don't give fish, but we have a financial literacy toolkit. We have like a street business toolkit. We can work with you to help you to develop your shoeshine business so that you make more profits and that you can prevent to get into this situation of extreme hunger in the future. That's what we tell the kids. But after a while, I started understanding that every euro that I needed to reach that kids, to preach that story, was fundraised. So I was begging for fish, you know, collecting fish through a model which is asking because selling poverty actually, and building the narrative of the poor kids, you know, the strengthening the pity story, which is counterproductive. I believe I needed that story to ask for fish, and with that fish, you build an organization, you pay yourself a wage that allows you to have a comfortable life in a Western European country. You build an organization, you build mobile schools, you fly them into the streets, and when the kid in poverty asks you, like, can I have a fish? You tell him, like, no, I don't believe in begging. Like, how inconsistent can you be? So this is where we said, like, if we want to pick up leadership in the systemic change we need in society to, you know, develop that opportunity of these untapped talents, I have to walk the talk. So I said, like, if I'm convinced that I have to tell the shoeshine boy, like, no, I'm going to teach you financial literacy instead of giving you money, you know, I need to start earning my money myself.
You've given us a lot of food for thought. Just to close out, if you could share one piece of advice for aspiring social entrepreneurs looking to address educational inequalities, what would it be?
Really understand that, and certainly when you're in a kind of a development context, often you enter realities that are not really feasible to bring our old school models or methodologies or visions. So it's really, as well, everything that has been created by the academy should be filtered through a kind of an empathy vision and adapted to the grassroots work that we have to do. So empathy, develop your empathy, train yourself. If you want to develop for a community, go and live with the community, get into their shoes, Don't say that you respect them, but find the point where you truly and 100% respect them. You know, like really, really look for that connection. That's the first thing. And you gave me opportunity for a second one. Whatever you build, don't think in fixed business models. Be innovative. Building the structure and the business model. I think that the classical philanthropy, subsidized, grant-based way of tackling social issues, you know, the whole sector, the whole poverty economy has been using that model for decades and decades and decades, and there's good stuff done, but it hasn't got us to the point of finding, you know, true solutions. So we need business model innovation. It's not just what you do with the community, but it's as well about how you finance it, how you talk about them. It's about the full holistic approach that you take, and that's where you need to be innovative. And these things are interrelated. It's about connecting them and being able to connect all of these parts aligned with the vision.
Well, that brings us to the end of our interview. Let's recap some key points.
Absolutely. You talked about how traditional approaches like shelters often fail because they inadvertently contribute to disempowerment. When kids are made to feel like they've lost their self-respect or esteem through strict rules, judgment, or lack of autonomy, it's tough for them to engage with educational or life goals.
Exactly. And for many children, especially those living on the street itself becomes their home, their comfort zone. It's where they feel empowered and where they've built a sense of belonging. Removing them from that just perpetuates the cycle of rejection they've already experienced.
Right. Another point that was discussed in the interview was the importance of respecting their choices, even if it means walking away when things escalate into violence.
Yeah, I think that's a critical component of this. Trying to force someone to something they don't trust doesn't work. Trust and respect need to be mutual, and sometimes that means knowing when to disengage. At the end of the day, these organizations are often going into communities who have been established in their own way of living for a while. Whether we disagree or not, it is our job to respect the space and not strip them away of their agency, giving them the autonomy of choice.
I think this circles back into Arnaud's point of practicing what you preach really well. What did you think of the whole shift in the project?
Yes, that's actually really cool for them to make that shift. Not only are they securing the resources needed to keep their work going, but also living out their mission. They're going into these communities and teaching children how to build the skills to move themselves out of poverty, and then reversing the ideology back onto themselves.
And now for the big question. Is it feasible to achieve quality education for all by 2030? What do you think?
I always like to maintain hopefulness, but I don't think so. These issues are deeply rooted in our societies and will take a lot more to address. And remember that social innovation is not a silver bullet. But that doesn't mean it's a failure. The very existence of SDG 4 puts the issue on the global agenda. It gives us a framework, goals to work toward, and a shared direction. Even if we don't get all the way there by 2030, the progress made along the way will still matter.
Couldn't agree more. It's about momentum and collaboration. These goals create opportunities for governments, organizations, and individuals to unite around common causes, and that in itself is a step forward.
So, as we wrap up today's episode, it's clear that the mobile schools are more than just a new way to deliver education.
Yeah, they're a powerful tool for empowerment, helping to build self-esteem and bringing learning directly to the streets, right where it's needed most. Mobile schools fill gaps left by traditional systems, especially in areas where formal education doesn't align with local context.
Indeed, they create new opportunities for marginalized children to regain their confidence. They develop new skills and move towards a future they might not have otherwise imagined.
Exactly. But if we want to make this vision a reality at a global scale by 2030, we all have a role to play. Whether it's collaborating with projects like the mobile school or exploring alternative business models, we need to find ways to support those initiatives.
And more importantly, I think we need to lead by example and being the change we want to see. We can't expect to solve these challenges unless we are all actively contributing to disillusions ourselves.
Absolutely. On that note, do you think we can achieve SDG 4 by 2030? Do you know of any interesting educational projects going on? Share your thoughts with us on social media or through our website.
Thanks for joining us in this important conversation. Let's keep striving for a world where education truly is a right, not a privilege. Until next time, stay informed and stay inspired.
Take care, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.